one verse just in 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll ask you to take the scriptures and turn to it. 1 Thessalonians 4, and the verse 13 it is. In some regards, it's appropriate that we turn to this portion. It's a portion about the comfort that God's people receive, especially when death has come and a loved one has been taken away. 1 Thessalonians 4 and the 13th verse. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The words at the end of the verse especially, the words that say that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In the 19th century, there were many controversies that raged over the subject of hell, the reality of hell in particular. There was in Scotland at that time an evangelical minister by the name of Dr. James Morrison. Morrison was a Greek scholar, and what he did was he set himself the task to study carefully and thoroughly the entire New Testament on the subject of hell. And he did that from the book of Matthew right through to the book of Revelation. He wanted to see what the scriptures, the New Testament especially, had to say upon this subject. And when he had finished that very deep and thorough study, he closed his New Testament and he made this statement as a conclusion of all that he had studied. He said, there is no hope for the soul that goes to hell. And I want you to think of that very carefully, men and women. The theme of the message this morning is the hopelessness of hell. And I pray the Lord might write that upon your heart. The solemn truth, men and women, and a solemn truth it is. And I encourage you to listen carefully to it and to consider it well in your heart this morning. But the solemn truth is this: there is no hope for a soul that dies without Christ, and a soul that goes out into that place that is called hell. There's no hope of that soul being saved, and there's no hope of that person ever being delivered from that place. Not ever. Not ever. Paul, writing here to the Thessalonians, said, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. The clear message, we do take great hope from this portion, because he's talking about those that die in Christ. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's only a description of the Christian. It's only the child of God that falls asleep at death. But his message is clear, men and women, and the message is that there are those who die without any hope as far as eternity is concerned. And that is true of a person that dies without Christ. They have no hope of heaven, and they have never any hope of salvation, never any hope of their sins being forgiven. And the question I want you to consider for a moment or two today is, will that be true of you when you leave this world? We've heard of our brother dying so suddenly this week. If you were to be taken away suddenly, would it have to be said that you died without any hope as far as eternity is concerned? I want to say to you, men and women, don't be fooled by the theories of men. There are those who argue that there is hope for the lost in eternity. And I want to warn you today, don't be misled by those people. And don't be misled by the ideas and the theories that they present. There are those who will mislead you with ideas like universalism. Universalism is a heresy. Ultimately, universalism teaches that there's salvation for all of us. Everyone will be saved, regardless of how they lived, regardless of what condition they died in. They may suffer for a time in a lost eternity, but ultimately, all will experience salvation. There are churches in our land called Unitarian churches, and Unitarians hold and believe and teach that false doctrine of universalism. Don't be misled by it, men and women. Don't be misled by the idea of purgatory. Purgatory is taught as a place of suffering. Those who those who die not having committed mortal sins, their souls are purified. Their souls are made fit for heaven by enduring the flames of purgatory. Whenever a person has suffered enough, whenever a person's family has paid and prayed enough for that person, God will let them out of purgatory and let them in to heaven. Don't be misled by that notion either. Don't be misled by the idea of what is known as a second probation or a second chance. The idea is that souls in hell will have a second chance to be saved. Salvation will be offered to them again. They will be given another opportunity to trust Christ. They will not be finally damned until they are given that final opportunity. Those that hold to that idea, they look to the Epistle of Peter for some support. Let me just read to you some of the words that they use from Peter's first epistle. For Christ also hath once suffered for us, or suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. They say that means that Christ went down to hell and he preached to those that were there. And he did that to give them another opportunity of salvation. The words of the passage are certainly difficult. They're hard to understand. But their meaning is this, men and women, that the Spirit of God preached through Noah to the people of that time. And because those people were disobedient, because they refused to respond to the preaching of God's faithful servant, they were condemned. They were spirits in prison in Peter's time, in Peter's day, when he penned by inspiration the words of that epistle. They're not a reference to preaching being heard by souls in hell, as those that hold to the second probation notion would have you believe. See, the great question is, why just preach to the disobedient of Noah's day? Why not the rest of the wicked in hell from other periods of world history? Why? Well, that's a question that they cannot answer. You see, men and women, what all of those things are deceptions of the devil. The Bible says that the devil blinds the minds of those that believe not. And one of the ways the devil blinds people's minds is through false teaching, false doctrines, false gospels, such as those that I have mentioned to you. Don't be deceived by them. The reality is this, men and women. There is no other day of grace. There is no other day of gospel opportunity than the one that you will receive and have before your death. I want to re-emphasize to you the sobering truth. There is no hope for the soul that goes to hell. There will be no hope for you Let me personalize it, press it upon your heart. There will be no hope for you if you die without Christ. You'll be lost. Your soul will be lost. And you'll be lost forevermore. Ever and forever. I want to urge you to listen very carefully today to the teaching of the Scriptures. The book of Job says, because there is wrath, we're talking a little about hell, the wrath of God for sinners. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Just in a moment, in an unexpected circumstance, God could remove you from this world. Beware lest he take thee away with a stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The message of that text, and there's different lines of or threads of thought that we could draw from it, but the message is there's no deliverance for a soul that dies without Christ. Regardless of what is paid, regardless of what is done, regardless of what is offered, there's no deliverance for that soul after death. A great ransom cannot deliver thee. Think of what Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, he that being often reproved. I wonder, is that true of some here today? How often God has spoken in your heart and in your life. How often you have heard the gospel, how patient and merciful and long-suffering God has been as he has striven upon your heart by his Spirit. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Has that been your response? The outward hardening of the neck is an indication of the inward response of the heart. You've hardened yourself and you've hardened your heart towards the things of God. Well, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Remember that the word destroyed there gives us a little hint about eternity. Hell is described in the Bible as destruction. It's not just talking about death. It's talking about being plunged out into a lost eternity, suddenly, in a moment, unexpectedly. And it says that without remedy. What could be clearer, men and women? What could be more final? The rebellious sinner cut off, plunged out into eternity, and it's without remedy. Without remedy for the lost soul. In other words, death will have sealed your doom. And death will have fixed your destiny. Do you remember what the Savior said at the healing of the man that was sick of the palsy? Referring to himself, he said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Why not just say the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins? You would think that would be enough in itself. Why did he add the words, qualifying words, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins? Let me tell you why he included those words. It's to make clear that when a soul leaves earth, when a person dies, the Savior does not then have power. He does not then have the authority to forgive their sins. You see, the Bible's clear, men and women. All there is after death for the sinner is judgment and damnation. There's no hope of forgiveness, and there's no hope of salvation. It is appointed on the man once to die. And after death, what can you expect after death? A second opportunity? A second opportunity of coming to Christ? After death, the Bible says, there is the judgment. The Bible describes hell in many ways in the Word of God. The word everlasting is used several times. The Bible describes hell as everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, everlasting burnings. And the reality, men and women, is that if words mean anything, the message is that hell, its suffering, its torment, its punishment, it'll last forever. There is no escape. There is no end. There's no hope of salvation for the soul that goes there. And I pray that you'll see that today, that you'll get the message that God will speak to you. Absolutely no hope for your soul if it enters eternity unsaved. Paul said, now is the day of salvation. How pertinent, how relevant, how important that is, men and women. Now, while you're still alive, while you still have the use of all your faculties, while you can still hear, while you can still think of the things of God, while you're still here upon this earth, now is the day of salvation. And I plead with you all, each one here, member of the congregation, those visiting with us at this meeting, I plead with you all, if you're not right with God, you avail yourself of the opportunity that God in His grace and His mercy gives to you in this meeting this morning. Think of the words of the text. Even as others which have no hope. How awful that must be, men and women, to go out into eternity, to arrive in hell, and for that realization to hit you as never before, that there'll never be ever again any hope, any opportunity of getting right with God or being delivered from that place. And how awful, men and women, it would be for you. Blessed, privileged as you have been, how awful for you to die without hope. We don't want that to be so. It need not be so. God has been good to you. God has been so gracious and merciful and patient to you. And I plead with you. I plead with you, men and women, you come to Christ today. Let this day, the 26th day of July, the day of little Ella Haffey's dedication, let it be, men and women, the day that you look back to as the day that you got right with God, as the day that you settled the matter of salvation, and the day that once and for all you had within your heart a hope for eternity, a hope for your soul, and a hope for heaven. We're going to sing a verse or two, 700.